Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that you can weigh in and let your voice be heard each and every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on WKAR AM 870. Follow me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR. Like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. Don't be shy. Hit us up. We want to hear what's on your mind. Of course, you know you can give us a ring here right at the station. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. And how have you been enjoying the show so far? I encourage all of the dedicated listeners out there on Current Sports to let us know what you like, what you don't like, and pose some conversations that you would like to hear discussed right here on the show. Again, tweet me, Al Martin, WKAR, facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at almartin@wkar.org. I would love to hear your input on how you think we can improve the show each and every day. All right. Well, we begin a new fun-filled week on Current Sports. As stated earlier, we have a lot to talk about, including that unbelievable, stunning round by Phil Mickelson to capture the British Open. And we want to ask the question here on today's show, whether or not the legacy of Tiger Eldrick Woods is fading away. We want to hear your thoughts on that. Will Tiger ever break that storied record of Jack Nicklaus? Will he ever get to that point? And with Tiger, the way it's been 5 years since the man has won a major. What is the legacy of Tiger Woods, and is it kind of dwindling down, so to say? So again, call us. We're going to take your calls after the first break on today's show to get your thoughts on that. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We definitely will dive into that discussion in just a sec. But before we get into all of that jazz, I would like to welcome a guest on today's show that is looking to have a strong year at defensive lineman for the MSU football team. He is from right here in Lansing, Michigan, and made quite a bit of noise as a Big Red for Lansing Sexton High School. It's my pleasure to welcome Makaijah Reynolds to Current Sports. Makaijah, what's up, brother?
How you doing, Mr. Martin? Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. So, Makaijah, first of all, when did your love for the game of football begin?
Well, I mean, I've been playing football since I was, about 9 or 10 years old. My first sport was actually ice hockey. Oddly enough, that was my first sport. I played here in East Lansing when my mom first went to Michigan State. And honestly, I just got too big for it. So I transferred over to football. Mm-hmm. And here we are today. Been playing since I was a young kid. Played in Detroit in the Powell Leagues. Played in the Pop Warner Leagues, all that. Mm-hmm. Played for Sexton. Now I'm out here.
Wow. No, Makaijah, I can't just let you off the hook. I mean, you just said your first sport was ice hockey. Now, you're an African-American. There are not many African-Americans in the game of hockey. How did you get involved with that?
You know, at the time, I just had friends that played. And I told my mom, I expressed that, you know, I wanted to play and give it a shot. So I actually ended up playing in Munn Arena. That was my home ice. Mm-hmm. Played for, I can't remember my team's name, but played there for a couple of years, then continued to play roller hockey and stuff as I got older and into my teen years, but had to give it up because it just was a little too much on the knees at the time. So switched over to football and, just took off from there.
Wow, you rarely see that. It's unbelievable, Makaijah. So when you were playing, I mean, you were probably the only African-American out there playing, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, I didn't exactly take the rep that I wanted. I ended up getting thrown out of the game for broad chicks. And, you know, as a little kid, you're devastated because you don't know really why you're getting thrown out. And, you know, I knew the rules, but I didn't really know that, you know, you couldn't hit kids a certain way and stuff. So it's just little things like that. But it was a great time, a great experience.
Well, I'm sure that's you chose the right sport, brother. I tell you that right now. All right, now, Makaijah, looking at your football career in high school, you had quite the career. Now, you earned All-League honors in 2007 after helping Sexton average 31 points per game en route to an 8-4 record that season. You were named to the Detroit Free Press and Lansing State Journal Dream Teams in 2008 and first team Associated Press Division 3-4 All-State selection as a senior. Now, Makaijah, when you look at your career in high school and compare it to college? I mean, first of all, what is the biggest difference when you compare college football to high school football?
Oh, you know, I'll say the biggest difference is, number one, the training and the speed of the game. You know, tomorrow we're going to end up running gassers and stuff on Monday, doing all that kind of thing. And just preparing for little things like that. You know, in high school you train, but you don't, you know, train to the degree which you do in college. And the speed of the game is just so much different. My first practice, when I first came to state, I was an offensive lineman. I played guard. And I'll never forget, I was on the scout team, so I redshirted my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first plays that, or one of the first times that, you know, we did, you know, somewhat of a scrimmage where we had offense against defense, I'll never forget, Greg Jones was blitzing A-gap.
Uh-huh.
And I'll never forget trying to step to him, thinking, oh, okay, I'm just going to pick up Greg, and, you know, I have my block. And he shot through the gap so quick and slipped my block. I will never forget. That was my first experience. Like, I am in college now. This is not a game. These guys are all as fast and strong as me, and I got to step it up. So,
right.
You know, just little things like that. You know, it's such a transition coming from high school game where basically, you know, you can muscle a guy for half of the game or you know, just have just the strength and everything to overpower him.
Yeah.
To go into college where everybody's strong at all times, and it's all technique, and it's all about, you know, when you're tired, relying on that technique and not being sloppy and things like that. So I would probably say that's the biggest difference.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, everybody is big, everybody's strong. You kind of have to find other ways to differentiate yourself from other players. I mean, I can just imagine now, for you, what was the biggest challenge for you individually playing the game?
Biggest challenge for me, well, technique number one, because, you know, in high school, you know, the basics of how to block and or how to, you know, tackle and do different things. But technique is the biggest difference. I think that also just, you know, learning the playbook and adjusting to not just running, you know, 10 or 12 plays, but running, you know, basically a dictionary size playbook and knowing all the different aspects of what has to go on and who has to do what. I think that's probably one of the bigger things. Learning, if you can learn the playbook and learn how to, you know, associate certain things and just read defenses or read offenses, just being on both sides, you know, I think that's probably the biggest difference that I had to learn in my transition coming from Sexton to going to state.
Now, Makaiju, when you talk about that playbook, on average, how many plays are in that playbook? I imagine that thing is just ridiculous, right?
Yeah. That would be an understatement. I think my freshman year, when I first looked at it, I thought I was looking at Chinese, just reading, you know, the different terms that they had.
Right.
You know, you got five pages worth of terms in itself before you even get to the playbook.
Wow.
And then, you know, you actually get to the playbook and you have different sets. You have different variation of plays. You have different, you know, shifts and blocking schemes and things like that. So I'll never forget, I looked at the first page and I jumped to the last page, and it was something like 230 pages worth of plays, different things.
My goodness.
Freshman year. But, you know, I think that the biggest thing is, though, it's not so much that we run so many plays, it's just that we have different variations of it, and you just have to know, you know, how to do, you know, what your job is for each time that we run or whatever play that we're running.
Wow. So, when you said it's like 200-something pages, but most of them are variations of a set play, right?
Now, yeah, exactly.
Do you guys use all of those plays in that playbook on average throughout a season?
Oh, no.
Okay, no. Never, huh?
Especially depending on, you know, who the opponent is. There have been times where we'll have a certain set or a certain scheme that we want to run against one team, and then the next week we're playing, you know, a completely separate defense or offense, and we have to switch it up because, you know, you have to adjust to your opponent. You have to know your opponent, know what they like to do, what their tendencies are, so that you'll change up what it is that you do from a week-to-week basis, depending on who you're playing.
Very true. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we're talking with Makaiju Reynolds. He is a defensive lineman for Michigan State's football team. So looking at the team right now, Makaiju, what is the collective mindset of the team right now as you guys get prepared to hit the gridiron again?
You know, our whole mantra this summer has been hard work. All we want to do is work hard and do the most that we can in this offseason to prepare for the season that we have coming up. You know, last year we went 7-6, which for me is unusual, coming from the last couple seasons, having a straight 11 wins years, and just the culture that Coach D'Antonio's put in and instilled into this team is that, you know, we have to do what we have to do to be, or we have to, you know, complete our circles. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that he always says is complete your circles. Do whatever you have to do so that you can to play to the best of your abilities. There are things that he talks to, you know, individual players that he wants them to work on, and I truly take those things to heart, and I try to do those to the best of my ability. I just want to be able to help my teammates so that this is, you know, not just a great senior year for me, but so that it's a great first freshman year for the freshmen that are coming in. So that's a great third year for whoever it is. I just want to make it so that, you know, I can contribute to make everybody here better so that we're able to, you know, reach our maximum potential.
Now, you talked about Coach D'Antonio, you know, talking to players individually, letting them know what he needs from them in order to make the team and themselves better as players. And what has D'Antonio told you?
Coach D just says he wants me to be explosive and consistent. I know that that's one thing that I've had to work on from last season, being my first full year, starting on defense to, you know, this offseason, what I needed to do. And my whole thing has been to work so that I'm consistent, to work to get a better pass rush, and to get my hands right. I just, you know, there are certain things that you have to do to improve from year to year. And it's really up to you, it's really up to me as to, you know, what I want to do and where I want to go with it. So I've just been trying to work as hard as I can. I've had, you know, great support from my teammates, and we've all grown so much this summer. We've grown so much, you know, with Coach Burton, our new D-line coach. He's been doing a great job helping us out and teaching us new techniques and just, you know, continuing off of what Coach Gill taught us. I feel like Coach Gill taught us the basics, and Coach Burton is just taking us to that next level. And, you know, I think that it's going to be a big surprise for a lot of people out of the D-line for this year.
Well, I tell you what, the city of Lansing and Spartan Nation is definitely looking forward to the start of the season. And I tell you what, now when you look at that last season, though, Makaijah, and you kind of hit it on it before I asked the question, not matching those expectations, because the expectations were kind of high coming into last year, and a lot of individuals out there thought that you guys should have finished better than what you guys did, but there were problems, you know, with the receiving core dropping passes, and you guys lost a lot of close games. When you personally look at that season, what weak areas do you see that must improve this season and can't happen this season that you really saw that was hindering you guys?
Well, you know, I think Coach Manny said it best early at the beginning of this summer when he said we have to do the little things. 2010, 2011, we did the small things. We got the little calls here and there. We made we put in the close-knit efforts and the little extra things here and there that were able to, you know, put us over the top. And just like last season, in those 2 years that we went and won 11 straight or won 11 games, the margin of victory often was pretty close. And, you know, honestly, this way, for a lot of games, whether it be Ohio State, whether it be, you know, whoever, there were a lot of times when it could have gone our way, but we didn't get our call, or we didn't do, you know, whatever the smallest thing was to get the W. So I know that is one thing that we're putting extra emphasis on, is making sure that we pay close attention to all the small details, because we want to make sure that there's nothing, you know, no stone left unturned, that we took care of all of our business to do and did the best that we could to get the victory for whatever, you know, whatever game it may be.
Right. So how good do you think you all can be? What are the team goals right now?
Oh my goodness. I mean, we could be, honestly, it's up to us. The sky's the limit. We reload every year.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got great senior leadership. We've got a lot of great young players. We've got a lot of great veteran players. And I'm excited about the year and the potential for, you know, what we can do this year.
Wow. Well, we all are, I tell you that. Now, what are your personal goals as a player, Makaijah? This is your last year. You are a senior now. Man, time flies, I tell you that. But what do you want to do individually as a player?
I mean, honestly, as a player, I just want to, you know, I try to set personal goals. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, I'm not sure if those are necessarily the things I should be shooting for. So, I mean, me personally, I just want to go as hard as I can at all times. And, you know, I have certain little statistics this year, from last year, but I don't necessarily think that that's something that I even want to shoot for. I want to do, you know, go above and beyond what I did last year. You know, I started out the first six games of the season, dealt with some injuries, and then ended up battling to start the rest of the season. You know, because players came up and did well. We, like I said, we're loaded. James Kittredge, Tyler Hoover, Lawrence Thomas, Damon Knox, all those guys, you know, we're all great players. And I love the fact that it's competition at all times because we got people that can go in and rotate for us and that can do the job. And, you know, my whole goal for this year is to come out with no regrets. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the biggest thing. I don't want to leave any regrets. And I have some regrets from last season, and I refuse to have those again this year. So I believe that, you know, if I do the best of my – or if I play to the best of my abilities and, you know, just go hard at all times, I won't have any of those regrets. And I'll be able to leave Michigan State with a great feeling and hopefully with the Rose Bowl championship.
Now, Makaija, you talk about you kind of hinted on it just now, some of those regrets that you had last season. What were those regrets that you personally had?
Whether it be little things like maybe not necessarily taking care of my body the way that I should have it all the time, you know, just little things like that. Not necessarily all the time having the right technique. Just, you know, minor things like that. Nothing too major to the point where I'm like, oh, you know, I just harp about it.
Right.
But just like I said before, just the little things that I could have done differently last year that I think back and I'm like, you know, that really probably could have contributed and helped me play better, help my teammates out more.
Gotcha. All right, Makaija, let's shift gears a little bit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us, we are talking with Michigan State senior defensive lineman Makaija Reynolds. Now, I'm sure you've heard this story. This story's been out there a lot with the whole Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football. You know, he's been getting a lot of flack lately, Makaija. And one of the most recent stories, of course, is with him partying and missing, well, quote-unquote partying, and allegedly missing the Manning camp because of partying and oversleeping. And then prior to that, he actually sent out a very controversial tweet that said, quote, I don't want to use the word on air, but he cusses and says, crap like tonight is why I can't wait to leave College Station whenever it may be. And he caught a lot of flack for that. Now, as a player, Makaija, living in today's world of Twitterverse, Facebook, and so on, you have to really make sure you have to be cautious when posting to social networking sites. How do you, as a player, knowing that you're in the social atmosphere, you play for MSU, how do you protect yourself against stuff like that?
Well, you know, it's really hard to do in this age of, you know, cell phones and cameras on everything and you know, people always watching what you're saying online. But it's hard, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Being a player in such a large university, I can tell you myself that you have to stay guarded at all times. I feel like any time that you're posting anything, you have to think, what do I want my image to be? What do I want people, how could people possibly perceive this besides how I want myself or how I myself want people to see it? I think that's the biggest thing is taking into consideration that, you know, you're being watched at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a standard that has to be held. But, you know, with Johnny Manziel, it's a little different because, you know, he's a kid still.
Yeah.
He's a young guy. And he hasn't experienced, you know, everything that there's to experience in college. And he probably won't because of the status that he has. And he just wants to, I feel like he just wants to, you know, live and lead a normal life and all that kind of thing. But unfortunately, you know, that's the price that you pay when you win the Heisman, when you do different things like that, when you're in the spotlight with the media all the time, is that you're going to be under a microscope. And so Johnny has to, you know, as a lot of players that, you know, are in college who are younger have to do, they have to grow up a little bit faster than everybody else does and realize that not everybody is on is looking out on your behalf. Not everybody has your best intentions. And you really have to watch what you say, because in this day and age, anything can be twisted in 2 seconds into something that is really not. And, you know, it's always been, I believe my mom did a great job with me when I was younger, because she always told me you have to be careful with what I'm putting out there, and you have to know what you want your brand to be. So, you know, I think that unfortunately sometimes we are taking advantage of a little bit with what we're saying or putting the spotlight when we really don't need to be about issues that maybe are not so much big, and if it were somebody else, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal at all. But because of the position and the status we're given with this sports and different things, it's a price that we have to pay, but it's something that we should, you know, take advantage of. I think that everybody should use their social media to be uplifting and to, you know, I mean, I can't say for myself that I do all the time, but I know for a fact that it's a tool that can be used as a resource. And I think that people should just take advantage of it a little bit better. Think about it a little bit more before you post.
Very, very good message. Now, I got to ask you, Makaja, have you been involved with or ever seen one of your fellow teammates tweet or Facebook something and possibly got in trouble or some repercussion from it because it wasn't something they should have been doing?
You know, it's funny, because we go through social media training and stuff.
You guys do? Okay.
Yeah, and it's funny because when we go through that, you know, we see sometimes they show examples of us and they pull up, yeah, this is what you have on your page, and guys instantly regret it. But so, yeah, I've seen that before. You know, I've seen it where people have posted things, maybe not necessarily that even went to state, but, you know, friends that I've had, whether it be on the U.S. team or whether it be, you know, from high school or whatever, that play different places now, who will post stuff and then delete it, you know, at a later time. And I've had people call me and be like, hey, you know, you might want to think about what you just posted because, you know, I know you meant this and I know you, but, you know, other people may don't necessarily know what's going on with you. So, you may, you know, just you have to be really careful in this day and age. And it's a shame that certain situations even arise from innocent tweets. But, you know, not everybody's always looking out for your best interest. So it's really, you know, you have to look out for yourself out here.
That is so true. All right, before I let you go, Makaja, you have been involved in a pretty cool organization back in the day entitled Athletes in Action Sports Ministry. Talk about that, Oregon. What is it about?
I mean, Athletes in Action, it's a great program. It's for it's a Christian organization for athletes. It just helps us to – it gives us an opportunity to express your faith and to reach out and minister to other people through that. My bro Chris Norman was in it, who a lot of people, you know, have heard about and things, who decided not to go to the league and to pursue his faith and to pursue different areas. But I feel like it's a great program. I've gone out to Colorado twice to AIA campus. We call it Athletes in Action Camp. I've, you know, met so many great people through that. Trey Burton down in Florida, you know, just a lot of different people that I've met. And I enjoyed it because it gives you a chance to worship with other people and other athletes who go through everything that you go through. And, you know, that program definitely made a large impact on me. And I'm really thankful for just even the opportunity to go out to Colorado and to work with those different athletes and do different things out there.
That is great. So how can athletes that are possibly listening to the show, how can they get involved with this organization, Makaja?
You know what? Actually, we have, during the school year, it's a little quiet right now because it's summertime and nobody's here.
Right.
But during the school year, Athletes in Action, we have meetings every Monday or Tuesday out in Michigan State at the football building. It starts usually at 8 o'clock. And, you know, we welcome anybody, you know, who is an athlete, or even if you're not really an athlete, but, you know, you just want to worship and minister and have an opportunity to fellowship with other people who are like-minded. It's a great opportunity to go out there and to hang out with people and to share different things and share whatever is going on with you. I can tell you myself, I was going to AIA meetings before I even got to state, and it was always a great time. I always got to meet great people and enjoy myself there.
Well, it sounds like a very, very inspiring and positive organization. And I got to ask you, you talked about your relationship with Chris Norman. I know you guys were very close. And I tell you what, anybody who comes in contact with you or Chris will always tell me, like, these guys are so classy, such a nice guy. Even before you got on the air, my engineer, Aaron Young, who talked with you for 2 seconds, he said you seem like an incredibly nice guy. And anyone who talks with you, Makaja, echoes those sentiments. What is Chris up to now, man?
You know, last time I caught up with him, he was still working out and doing different things. I'm not exactly sure what his plans are right now, just because he's been doing so much and we've been doing so much around here. But I do know that he's going to be working with ministry and pursuing towards that area. But at this point, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what his exact, you know, plans are at the moment. But I do know he'll be going into the ministry and possibly going to the seminary or after whatever it is that he's doing right now.
Gotcha. That's great. Now, also, I'm about to let you off, Makaja, but before I do, I got to ask you about your interest in sports casting. When did that peak begin and kind of nudge at your curiosity?
I mean, I've been doing it. It really started in high school. I would do, when I was getting recruited, I would put together highlight tapes and edit them myself and do little things like that. And so eventually my high school coach, Coach Bogan, he would ask me to make tapes for other people. And so I started doing that and started helping them doing little things like that. And I've always had an interest in, you know, doing journalism or something like that. And but right now I'm a IDS human capital major. But that's definitely something that I'm still, you know, I still have a passion for. I still look forward to doing at some point. But right now I'm just focusing on human capital. But, you know, when the opportunity presents itself, I would definitely be jumping right back over to that area. It's just, you know, that's mad. The only thing about it is it's really hard to do when you're an athlete still.
Yeah.
So, you know, once my days, you know, playing ball, you know, God, hopefully, you know, God willing, I have many more to come. But, you know, when that day comes that I don't play sports anymore, then I definitely look forward to jumping back into, you know, getting back into the broadcasting and sports journalism and different things like that.
Gotcha. Well, I tell you what, Makaja, whenever you're done playing and your career is done, I'm still, of course, going to be in the industry. Let me know. We'll hook up. Of course, you're welcome here anytime on the show. Appreciate your time. Definitely.
No doubt. I appreciate you having me.
All right, well, there you have it, MSU defensive lineman Makaja Reynolds. Makaja, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be in touch, but all right, well, when we return to current sports, we'll dive into our current sports section of the show. We're going to remind you all to be taking your calls after this break. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We want to hear what's on your mind. Stay tuned. More current sports is next.
Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, a new internet company not racing to make $1 billion, sort of like Kickstarter, but it wants to help sick people.
Why isn't there a website? A website where we can directly fund medical care for people that need it.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Seven days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest sporting news concerning you, good people of Mid-Michigan. We just finished talking with MSU defensive lineman Makaja Reynolds. He's such a great guy. He's approaching his senior year. Boy, how time flies. I remember we came in both as freshmen at the same year. Makaja's such a great guy. Hopefully he has a great season with the Spartans as they get ready, and we get ready for some college football in a few months. I'm certainly excited. All right, well, my intern Mike Corey and production assistant Matt Lucky has joined me, and we are going to list a lot of action that happened over the weekend. No story bigger than the British Open, in which Phil Mickelson, he came out of nowhere, guys, closed a round of 66, a decisive victory at the 142nd Open Championship. He came from five strokes back to win his fifth major championship and capture the game's oldest trophy, the Claret Jug. Here he is after that historic win.
This was a day that I'll remember my entire life. It was one of the best rounds of golf I've ever played, and to be able to share this moment with Amy and my children, Amanda, Sophia, and Evan, to be able to share it with my main man, Bones, Steve Loy, Butch Harmon, who are here, it just makes this moment even more special. And I want to thank them for the support they've given me throughout their career. I want to thank the technicians at Callaway who helped make this win possible. I want to thank the RNA for the great job they did, and the membership here at Muirfield for setting up such a wonderful golf course, a very demanding, difficult test. And I just could not be more proud to be your champion. This is a win that I never knew in my career if I would be equipped, if I would have the shots, if I would have the opportunity to win a tournament here. And to do it, to play some of the best golf, probably the best round of my career, and break through and capture this claret jug is some of the most fulfilling, probably the most fulfilling moment of my career, because it was something I wasn't sure I'd be able to ever do. And I want to thank everybody for the opportunity, and I want to thank everybody for the support and for supporting this great tournament, and I'm very proud to be your champion. Thank you.
Yes, that was Phil Mickelson. After winning the British Open yesterday, an unbelievable historic win for him. No one thought he was going to come back or even have a chance at winning. I know I didn't, but he came from 5 strokes back to win the thing. He needed just 26 putts and matching the best round of the tournament, and was the only player in the last 11 groups to break 70, doing so by 4 strokes. Guys, did you see it? And what was your first thoughts upon hearing that Phil won?
My first thoughts were that I'm really glad I didn't take Lee Westwood, because in our picks last week, I almost picked Lee Westwood. That would have been agonizing just to see him fall apart again. Phil Mickelson has it going, like, there's just nobody like him. Like, every once in a while, he has one of these magic rounds, and this was perfect timing for that magic round. But, you know, he got it done, and I'm glad he got the British kind of, you know, monkey off his back, so to speak.
Right, definitely. Did you see it, Mike?
I did not see it, but when I heard about it, you know, it's always a good story when he wins. And one of the best things I read about it on Twitter was that the Mickelson family has perfected the family hug. And
it's a great thing to see that.
Yeah, just shout out to Lefty, because anytime he wins, it's always a good, great thing to hear, because when he wins, it is good for golf.
Yeah, he's such a good guy and such a family man. And just to see, I mean, looking at that tournament, though, when I'm sitting there, I mean, Phil's name was hardly mentioned in the first 3 rounds. Then all of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere, and I actually was watching it and had to go run a few errands and came back. And it was bad timing for me. Tell you what, I came back and went to SportsCenter and showed the Phil, you know, raising the trophy. I'm sitting there like, what? He won it? I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. But congrats to Phil Mickelson for winning, finally winning at the British Open. And Tiger Woods, we got to talk about this, guys. Tiger Woods, he really collapsed. I tell you that. There's no other way to put it. He started shaky with bogeys on 2 of the first 4 holes yesterday, leaving himself a long birdie putts that he could not put in at all. And from there, it was a game of catch-up that he could never conquer. Woods now has 9 top 6 finishes. 9 in major championships. In the 17 he has played since 2008, the last of his 14 major titles, he is now 23 over par in the 3rd and 4th rounds of major championships in the last 2 years, compared with 11 under in the first 2 rounds. And his 74 on Sunday tied the highest final score at the Open as a professional. Guys, what's up with Tiger? And I chose Tiger. I'm a Tiger Woods fan. I'm one of those guys who's always rooting for him, because I believe in that aura of him being Tiger Woods and seeing what he's done throughout his career. Something in me just says, you know, he's going to pull this out sooner or later. And that was just a classic example of yesterday. And he's not going to do it. I mean, people won't say that Tiger Woods is back unless he wins at a major championship. It's been since 2008, guys. Will he ever catch Jack? I don't know, but what's up with Tiger? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, those numbers kind of point to somebody that's, I don't want to say crumbling under the pressure, but certainly feeling the heat. And the longer this goes, the longer this streak goes where he doesn't win, the worse it's going to get. And, you know, you kind of look at all the talk Saturday going into Sunday was, this is kind of Tiger's tournament to lose. He's going to do it. He's going to break the streak. Phil comes out of nowhere and just kind of slides in coolly, you know, no pressure, goes out, just plays a nice round of golf. Ends up winning the whole thing, whereas Tiger, you know, under everyone's microscope the entire weekend.
Right.
And it just seems like he's kind of running out of gas here.
It does look like that.
No attention on Mickelson was the best thing that ever could have happened to him. Just having it all be focused on Tiger just allowed him to just play quietly through the weekend, and Sunday hit that 66, and then it was just perfect.
Yeah. It was great timing, wasn't
it? Yeah, and then you speak about the aura. He doesn't really have that aura anymore. And it was all, through whatever the period of inactivity where he just didn't play, and then a more controversy after controversy that swooped up on him. He just sort of lost that aura, and that's, people have said before, that's where they could believe, hey, we can beat this guy. And, and then now maybe he's believing, oh, now these people can beat me.
And that's a question I want to pose to all of our listeners out there. Is Tiger Woods' legacy dwindling? 517-355-9527. I want to get your thoughts, because there was a time when Tiger Woods, if you knew Tiger was in a tournament, you were kind of just looking at him. All throughout all four rounds, because you knew Tiger Woods, no one could beat him. He was so intimidating to play with. And, there was a time where he was just, really on the high rise and the best at the game, where you knew that Tiger Woods was going to bring his game, and you know he was going to play solid every time he went out there. But now it's hit or miss. You never know. Of course, at majors, it's almost expectation now that Tiger's going to fold and play bad. And to be honest, that expectation is proven to be true, because since 2008, we haven't seen him win a major. But, there was a time, though, when Tiger Woods would strike fear in his opponents.
Yeah,
now it's the exact opposite.
His red shirt might have well, it might as well have been a Superman cape. Like, he was right. Unbeatable. It was, a foregone conclusion. But now, you kind of look at the whole picture here, and it just kind of looks like maybe he peaked. Maybe that was it. Maybe we'll never see that Tiger again.
Man, I'm about to cry right now.
It's pretty sad.
I like to think of his red shirt as the shoes from Like Mike, when they get broken.
These are the broken shoes.
Yes.
His red shirt. He has that aura of dominance is slowly fading. And, I really hope that it comes back. He's still the number one ranked golfer in the world, and he's won four times this season so far. But people won't say that Tiger Woods is back until he wins a major, and he simply has not done it. All right, guys, we got to move on again. What is Tiger Woods' legacy? Call in 517-355-9527. We want to get your thoughts on that. All right, the Detroit Tigers, just a quick weekend recap of them. The Tigers opened up the second half of the season with a three-game series against the Kansas City Royals this weekend, but unfortunately they could not start the second half off right. First game, the Tigers were shut out 1-0 at Kauffman Stadium. Anibal Sanchez picked six innings. He took the loss. The sole run of the game came from an RBI single from Billy Butler in the first inning. The Tigers never answered back for nine innings. Now, the second game featured a rare win against Tiger pitcher Justin Verlander. JV has really been up and down. It's been a roller coaster year so far for him. Justin had not lost, though, to the Royals since September 9th in 2009. But on this game, he gave up six runs, eight hits, four walks, through five and two-thirds innings. So the Tigers really starting off. Now, they did get one win out the series. So they start the second half of the season with a 2-1 series loss against the Royals. They will now get ready for the Chicago White Sox tonight and then host the Philadelphia Phillies. So in a three-game series this upcoming weekend. And the Lansing Lugnuts, guys, the Lugnuts took on the Kane County Cougars on Saturday and Sunday. They lost both games, 8-4 and 6-5, both losses. The final game of that series is tonight at Kane County. The Luggies just struggling. They are now 8-21 on the second half of the season. The last spot in last place in the Midwest League Eastern. They're really, really, really hurting right now. All right, and A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, Yankee slugger. Alex Rodriguez, he won't be returning to the lineup after suffering a grade 1 strain of his left quadricep. And we all thought he was coming back. He's out in the minors right now, rehabbing and playing some games out there. But the third baseman has missed the entire season after a hip injury and was slated to return this week in Texas after a lengthy recovery. He showed up to his rehab assignment for the AAA Scantron Saturday. Is that what I'm saying?
Scranton.
Right? The Scranton.
Did I miss?
You're good. You're good. I'm reading it. We're good, man. We're just going with the flow, baby. And with stiffness in his quad, after playing Saturday, he returned to New York for an MRI Sunday, which revealed the injury. And he says, quote, "I'm extremely disappointed with the results of the MRI and hope to be back as soon as possible and continue with my goal of coming back and helping the Yankees with a win a championship, excuse me. Now, if you guys, you look at the Yankees, most of their star players, I mean, Jeter, I mean, you talk about A-Rod, you talk about Granderson, Teixeira, I mean, they're all hurt. And they're playing these guys, they're paying these guys millions and millions of dollars, and they have, half of them are just sitting on the bench collecting checks.
I think I read there's about 15 players on the disabled list right now.
That's unbelievable.
And so I think we should start a new game, or at least something, do something, pick a Monday. You know, who's next on the Yankees to be on the disabled list?
Yeah, I'm wondering who's going to be back first. I mean, this is crazy though, guys. So A-Rod, quad injury now. All right, Mike Babcock. News just broke though that Mike Babcock. I was gonna report that right now Canada is looking to hire him back as their coach for the Canada Olympic hockey team. But news has just broke, and head coach, Red Wings head coach Mike Babcock will be Canada's Olympic hockey team coach again. He's returning. Now, former Red Wing legend Steve Yzerman, he's the executive director and was assisted by Red Wings GM Ken Holland in the 2010 games when they beat the USA for the gold in overtime. Assisting him behind the bench are St. Louis Blues coach Ken Hitchcock, Dallas Stars coach Lindy Ruff, and Boston Bruins coach Claude Julien. Now, the February games this year are held in Russia, and Team Canada are defending champions. So, Mike, he's the congrats to him. He's returning as the coach for Canada's Olympic team. Now, the U.S. in Gold Cup semis, we're going to talk about soccer really quick. Clarence Goodson and Joe Corona scored during an eight-minute span of the first half, and the U.S. coasted past El Salvador 5-1 Sunday to advance to the semis of the Gold Cup in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, the Americans advanced to play Honduras in Texas Wednesday night. Honduras defeated Costa Rica 1-0. Team leader and seemingly ageless Landon Donovan, he set up three American scores and had one of his own Sunday night for the red-hot U.S. national team. Guys, how good do you think this team can be? Do you guys see them beating, which we'll talk about in Pick 'em Mondays as well, but do you guys see them winning and going on and moving past the semis? They are hot right now, guys.
I think they will.
I think they will, too.
It's kind of weird that, you know, you actually expected them to maybe do something in the World Cup when it comes around in 2014. They look like they're...
They're like they're serious.
Pretty legit, yeah.
They're riding a 9-game win streak right now.
Yeah.
Dating back to... like around springtime right now, so they're on a very good hot streak, and I think we'll talk about them Pick 'em Mondays. I think they'll beat Honduras.
Yeah, they're hot. They are definitely hot, and we gotta bring you this really quick.
That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
Yes, and I tell you what, a lot of football players have been hearing the sound of the police lately, including a lot of college football players, too. We talked about the NFL and how many arrests there have been since Super Bowl Sunday, but in college football, it seems to be something left and right when it comes to just football players in general. Florida Gators linebacker, though, Antonio Morrison, he has been arrested for the second time in 5 weeks, this time for allegedly barking at a police dog and resisting arrest, guys. Don't bark at any police dogs. You might get arrested, all right? That's the message here. But he will miss at least the first two games of the season after being suspended from the team Sunday. Morrison's defense was that the dog barked first. The dog barked first, so I'm going to bark back at him.
Everybody blames the dog.
You got to blame
the
dog.
Always blame the dog.
That was his only defense. That's the only defense he had, was that the dog barked first. So, you know, I had to bark back. And
Somehow I feel like a cat's involved in this somehow, too.
A cat? You think? Maybe. I don't know why the dog barked. But what happened, reading this report, according to, the sheriff's report, police responded to a suspicious incident and disturbance call at 3:43 a.m. Yesterday at a Gainesville hotel adjacent to a nightclub. Now, the officer was investigating the vehicle that was the subject of the call when a group of several men were walking by. Now, one of the men reportedly approached the patrol car. Of course, we're talking about Antonio Morrison here. He approached the patrol car, and began barking at his at the sheriff's police dog through an open window. Now, the report said that caused the dog named Bear to bark back at the man, which Arnold says in his report diverted his attention from investigating the vehicle. Then the report goes on to say the sheriff told the man, later identified as Morrison, to wait in front of his patrol car. The man resisted. Morrison resisted when Arnold tried to handcuff him. Arnold is the sheriff here. So I don't think – why would you do that? It just – I tell you.
Seriously.
Just, come on, man. Don't bark at dogs, though. I mean,
I think he may have maybe had too much no-no juice.
Yeah, I think so. He may have. That's what it looks like right here. Yeah. I'll tell you that. So
ridiculous story.
Ridiculous,
the
hilarious story.
The dog barking
story.
First is like the best part.
So why'd you
though?
Do it? Well, the dog barked at me first.
Right.
What?
Naturally.
Come on now.
I mean, it's impolite not to respond to a police right. dog barking, right?
Very impolite. All right. Also, one to note that the Tour de France, that just ended over the weekend. And Chris Froome, he won the Tour de France. He led for 13 stages. 13 stages, guys, to pull that off. That's very impressive. And Carlos Hyde, of course, Carlos Hyde, a bulldozing rusher who led the Buckeyes, Ohio State Buckeyes, with 17 total touchdowns last season. He has been named a person of interest in the investigation of an assault against a woman at a downtown Columbus, Ohio bar. Now, Ohio State just released him from the team. So he's gone from the team. Hyde has not been arrested or charged with a crime, but was identified in a police report concerning that story. And in addition, starting cornerback Bradley Roby was also under review by the Buckeyes coach Urban Meyer for a Sunday morning arrest stemming from a separate incident. Football players, what is wrong with you guys? Just go and just chill and read a book or something. This is ridiculous. I mean, left and right, just arrests happening. So this is crazy. This is really crazy. But Carlos Hyde has just been released from the Ohio State football team. All right, we have to move on to our last segment of current sports. Pick 'em Mondays. We are taking your calls about any of the topics discussed today, 517-355-9527. Hit me up on Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me a question at Al Martin WKAR. Want to hear what's on your mind? More current sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with David Kirkpatrick, New York Times Cairo bureau chief. He arrived in the region just before the start of the Arab Spring, covered the Egyptian Revolution, and now he's been reporting on the military's ouster of Egypt's first democratically elected president. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We'll be taking your calls right now to discuss anything that's on your noggin, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a buzz. And we also posed the question whether or not, what is the legacy becoming of Tiger Eldrick Woods after his, I mean, the man can't buy a major right now. I mean, he hasn't won since 2008. We want to know your thoughts on that. And, of course, Phil Mickelson, who has been playing really, really well. I believe he won the Scottish Open right before the British Open. He is really rolling right now. In the meantime, though, we're going to, it's Monday. So, you know, that means pick 'em Mondays. We're going to give you the list of how we're all doing right now. I mean, right now I'm in a battle with Matt, just trying not to become that in that last position. I don't want to be singing like some R. Kelly during the beginning of next month.
Oh, don't worry. You will not be singing R. Kelly.
Yeah. So what are the standings right now,
man? You'll sing R. Kelly.
It's going to be something crazy, I know. But I'm not. I'm still in this fight. Right now, Matt, I believe, is in last place. But go ahead. This is your part. Go ahead, Mike. Do your thing.
Yes, right now, currently in the standings, we have Alex leading it with 20 points. I follow behind with 13. Al, you are there at 10, and then Matt is at 9 points.
Man, it's a battle right now. Wow, it's a battle right now. All right, Alex is just running away, though. He's got 20. All right, so what do we got this week? And let's start making picks, man.
Yeah, just some of the things, just to cover from last week, what we picked the Open Championship. None of us got that right. Al, you were the closest with Tiger.
I get 1 point for that, right?
I think, that's true.
Yeah, I do. So I got 11, right? Yeah,
so you're 11. High. Oh, you're pulling away from Matt.
All right.
Look at that. You got to give me my points, man. I got to start taking this shit.
No one got the Tigers Royal Series right because we all picked Tigers 2-1. We picked the Greg Oden free agency. He still hasn't picked the team yet, so right. Hopefully he picks Miami. And then me, Matt, and all three of us picked the New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox series, right? Boston 2-1. Alex did not get anything because he picked the Yankees to win that series.
Keep taking risks, Alex.
Yes,
I need you
absolutely.
To keep taking crazy risks because it's working out right now.
All
right,
so the picks, we're going to start it off with the Tigers at the White Sox for a 4-game series. Al, why don't you start us off?
I am going to go with... looking at the way the Tigers played the White Sox in that first series, I mean, it really made me wary. But at the same time, and then if you look at this, you know, at the weekend series with the Royals, I'm going to go with 2-2 split. Give me a 2-2 split in that one.
All right, Matt, how about you?
Gosh, I hate that you did that.
Really?
Because I don't know where I should try and make my move here to deviate from your picks.
Right.
I'm
going with 2-2.
Oh, gosh.
I originally had it 3-1.
Me too. And now I'm just kind of trying to decide between 3-1 or 2-2. I'm going to go 2-2 as well.
Okay.
Yes, I also went, I don't know, I actually went a 3-1 Tigers. I'm going to take a little bit of risk. And so is Alex. He is also picking 3-1 Tigers because he probably does not want to deviate from me.
Okay. And when you look at that matchup between the Tigers and White Sox, just to list it right now, Max Scherzer, he is on the mound. Max, he could keep continuing that streak of maybe 14. But Max Scherzer, he's on the mound tonight against Chris Sale. Tomorrow, Rick Porcello will face Hector Santiago. Wednesday, Anibal Sanchez versus John Danks. And Thursday, JV, Justin Verlander, will take on Jake Peavy. All right, Tigers and Phillies now, right?
Yeah. Al, what are you picking?
Matt, you go first. I'll let you go first.
I'm not going first. I'm in last place.
I'll go first. I will go first. I picked the Tigers. I picked the Tigers to win 2-1, and Alex also picked. No, Alex picked for the Phillies to win 2-1.
See, I'm looking at this document too. I see a trend here. See, Matt is waiting on me to pick, so he's waiting on his moment to deviate and try to try to just jump on me and get his pick right, and I look like crazy idiot. He's trying to mash my picks right now so he doesn't slump. But I am going to go with, and this is a 3-game series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tigers 2-1. Going with the Tigers 2-1.
All right. I'm also going Tigers 2-1, but I did have that written down before I came into the studio. So
sure, he did. Okay,
but that is my strategy. Yeah, you know, I
got it. I mean, that's everybody's strategy when you're in last place.
It's a good strategy.
It's a good strategy. All right.
All right, yeah, next, because there's sort of a lack of stuff to pick, I thought it'd be interesting to do how many home runs will Miguel Cabrera hit versus Chicago White Sox during the 4-game series? All 4 games across them all, how many is he going to hit? And it's worth 5 points.
I'm going to go with 4. I'm going with 4 home runs. I don't care when he gets them, but I think he's going to go. I think he's going to smack 4, maybe 5, but I'm going with 4. I'm feeling good about 4.
That is a large number.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I'm going to go 1.
Just one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Really?
It's either 1 or 2.
All right.
I'm picking 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I was also debating 4, but I decided to go with 3 just to try to find a middle ground there.
Okay.
So almost an average of 1 a game. Alex picked 2.
He picked 2.
And so we all have 1 through 4. So if he at least hits, unless he just slumps out and hits any, some of us,
right.
One of us is going to walk out with 5 points.
Yeah. If you look at this, when you look at Miguel Cabrera, and he's just been hot. I mean, it's talks about him possibly winning another Triple Crown. He's hot. I'm going with 4. 4 came to me in a dream the other day, so I'm going with Miguel.
Before
Cabrera.
I even do this.
Yeah. Before I even did it, it came to me. I was on. Why is that in my dream? All right, let's go. All right, Brickyard 400. Matt.
As much as I'd like to channel Martin Truex again, I'm not going to pull that one out of the hat.
You're a NASCAR expert.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go with the easy pick. Really boring. It's Jimmy Johnson.
You're going Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, when you look at him, he's a shoe-in. You can never go wrong with
great
with Jimmy
history
Johnson.
At yes. Indianapolis Motor mm-hmm. Speedway as well. So
he definitely does.
Tough to argue.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go with Matt Kenseth.
That's a good pick.
Very good pick. He's a great driver that's never won at the Brickyard, and I think he's due. So.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking this up, and like you said, great history at the Brickyard. Jimmy Johnson, he's won, I believe, four it is, and I picked him to win his fifth.
Right. Gotcha. All right, and who you got? Oh, you're going with Jimmy.
Yeah,
too.
I'm going with
you guys.
I picked JJ to win.
Okay, gotcha. All right, and
next up, we spoke about this earlier in the show, the U.S. men's soccer team versus Honduras.
I'm going with USA to pull it out. USA. They're hot right now, and I don't see them slowing down anytime soon. So give me the USA with that one.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah, Alex also picked USA, and like I said earlier in the show, I think they're going to do a 10-game win streak.
You know what? I'm going to modify this a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. If you can get the correct score of that game, let's give at least 3 points in that regard, too.
Okay, so
I'm going to go 3-2 US.
2-1. Yeah, I'm also going to go 2-1 on that one.
Gotcha.
Then Alex will just have to text Alex.
Let's
not tell Alex that we can also pick the score.
Right, exactly.
Alex, I think he said 9-0. That was his
I think that's what it was. Yep. 10, it might have been 10.
Let's mark that down.
Right. Okay. And the last but not least, the Indians taking on the Seattle Mariners. I'm going with Indians 2-1. It's a 3-game series. Indians 2-1.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Now I just sound boring. I'm going to go Indians 2-1, too.
Yeah, I also went Indians 2-1, and so did Alex.
We all went. So, no, you might as well just cancel that one out then, because everybody's, all right, Indians 2-1. Great picks, guys. We'll see if I can fight back or if Matt can catch me. And right now, I don't know, man. Crazy. All right, guys. So how was your guys' weekend real quick, first of all, too, before we leave? Did you guys watch anything? What'd you do? Chill out?
I got sick.
You got sick? Mike needs a personal doctor with him
at all times.
Yeah.
It's a walking hospital.
Speaking of doctors, I went paintballing for the first time, and I can barely feel my legs. So there
you go.
So maybe Mike's doctor can come over and help me out.
I am struggling this morning. That's hilarious. Well, I just chilled out. I went and saw probably one of the highlights of my weekend. Guys, I saw The Conjuring.
And?
I saw The Conjuring. It's pretty scary. One of the scariest movies I've seen in years. Yeah, please don't clank. I'm having a flashback. It was one of the scariest movies I've seen in years. Had me on the edge of my seat. It's a great movie. Check it out. Don't go alone. I almost went alone, but a friend met up with me. All right, guys. Well, we got to leave, though. Fun show to start the week. We're back at it. It's only Monday, guys. We have a great week in store for you. Before we leave today's show, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, production assistants, intern Mike Corey, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Makaijah Reynolds. He was great. MSU defensive lineman for joining us here on the show. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Be easy, people.